Ramsey TV.
When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he made sure he got Lot out of town. You're not going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with the man of God in there. So he brought Lot and his wife out. His wife had a little problem. She looked back at the destruction. She was a rubbernecker. Like these people on the highway that have to look at the accident. We're not to revel in the destruction of the enemies of God. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just means we're not supposed to revel in it. Lot's wife looked back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Literally. And I'm going to show you today why I believe we are the detainer. That is, we hold back the ultimate evil from happening upon this earth. If we hold back the man of lawlessness being unveiled, which Paul says we do in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says the detainer holds back the man of lawlessness, then we also hold back the tribulation. Our presence on the earth keeps the tribulation from happening. One leads to the other. The man of lawlessness is unveiled, sets himself up in the temple, declares that he is God, and the wrath of God is poured out wholesale at the middle of the last 7 years that are remaining to fulfill Daniel's prophecy of chapter 9. So we hold back the tribulation. You are responsible for 2 billion people to continue to live. You are responsible. Your presence on the earth, people don't know what they quote owe you. You know, if you think you're a nobody, if you think you don't matter, as a member of the body of Christ, the fact that you're still on the earth means that whatever terrible things the earth is going through right now, the tribulation won't start. Won't start. The tribulation starts before the wholesale destruction of God. The tribulation period, 7 years, is divided into two 3.5-year periods. The central event of that last 7 years is the man of lawlessness going into the temple. I believe that we are snatched away before the tribulation, because whether the tribulation has gotten into the wholesale obvious destruction, God coming down through the clouds and destroying things with his mighty hand, whether it comes down to that or not, it has still started, and the activity is underway. And because of a verse I am about to read you, I do not think we will be here even for the beginning of the tribulation. I mentioned this before. I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 5 and relate it to Lot escaping Sodom. This is the way God does it. I told you God has big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable ruts. We have more business getting out before war is declared than Lot had getting out of Sodom. He was a good man, yes, but he wasn't a member of the body of Christ. He wasn't going to be used by Christ in the eons to come to reconcile all things to him, whether those in the heavens or those on the earth. Romans 11:25. For I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. Callousness in part on Israel has come. The exception is the remnant. Other than a small group of Israelites who are staying true to their promise, callousness has come to the nation. This will be changed when the complement of the nations comes in. God is doing something with the nations before something happens with Israel. Something big is going to happen with Israel when the man of lawlessness declares himself to be God. For one thing, he is in the false temple, and the temple has to do with Israel. So here's another instance where, and the widespread wholesale hardness of Israel apart from the remnant is only lifted when the complement of the nations enter in. I believe the complement of the nations entering in corresponds to the detainer coming out of the midst. You might say, well, that doesn't sound the same as the detainer coming out of the midst. One is entering, one is coming out of the midst. Well, I tell this to you is that the entering has to do with the God viewpoint. They're entering into something. They're entering into God. They're entering, we are entering into the promise made to us by God that we will be snatched away together with the dead in Christ to meet the Lord in the air. Then we shall be ever with the Lord. We're entering into Him. That's how it goes down from the Christ God perspective. But now, if you're looking from the earth perspective, you see a group of people taken out of the midst of those dwelling on the earth. We are different than the rest of the people dwelling on the earth. We will be taken out of the midst. And it is the earth where the worst of God's wrath will come. It will come to the earth. So from the earth perspective, something is taken out of the midst. What is called the detainer, keeping the man of lawlessness from being unveiled. But from God's perspective, we are entering in, and that's our perspective too. I think we need to emphasize more and more not the fact that we're taken out, but that we're going into God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Yet all is of God who conciliates us to himself and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. God makes peace with the world. He's at peace with the world. He's at peace with the world, but the world isn't yet at peace with him. For us, the body of Christ, he whispers to us. He gives us his spirit, and we accept the conciliation. That gives us peace with God. It's still one-way peace, whether we accept it or not, whether anybody accepts it or not. You may say, then why does God declare war on the world? Is he, as I've heard suggested, does he remove the conciliation in order to make war with the world, in order to begin the tribulation? He does not withdraw the conciliation. How can you withdraw something that was done exclusively by Christ with no participation whatsoever by any member of the world, by any inhabitant of the world? He doesn't withdraw his peace. It's still there. Then why declare war? As strange as this sounds, the war is temporary, it's brief, but sharp, and it brings the world to a knowledge of righteousness. It's God's way of bringing the rest of the world into the knowledge of the conciliation that you and I have now. It may not do it to them on the spot, they may die, then they raise at the great white throne, then they go, oh yeah, that whole thing, I see how God thinks of I see what God thinks of human disobedience. I see what God thinks of human stubbornness. I see what God thinks of my pride. Thanks for showing me. See, all this is necessary to show people themselves. It doesn't mean God is not at peace with them, just as it doesn't mean that Christ is still not their Savior. Well, these people are dying during the tribulation. I thought Jesus was their Savior. He is their Savior. He's our Savior. Some of us die. We've had believers that we know die. Does that mean Jesus isn't their Savior? Does that mean God is not at peace with them? No. It just means that God didn't want them to be aware of the rest of the crap that's going to happen in this world. In a way, good for them. In a way, you know? I'm not kidding about that. So God is conciliated to the world, and he gives us the dispensation of the conciliation. It sounds complicated. It's not. It's just a dispenser. It's something like you put a quarter in a gum machine. At least you did in my day. In some cases, a penny. You turn the handle and the gumball comes out. It dispenses the gumball. We dispense the message that God is at peace with the world. That's all that means. The dispensation of the conciliation is you telling somebody, hey, God's at peace with you, but I hate God. Doesn't matter. That's all it is. Let's go on in 2 Corinthians 5. Giving us the dispensation of the conciliation, how the God was in Christ, conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them, and placing in us the word of the conciliation. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors, as of God, entreating through us. God is entreating the world through us. We are his ambassadors. Of what? The conciliation. What's conciliation? What is it? Peace. We are God's ambassadors of peace. God will not declare war on the world until he withdraws his ambassadors of peace. To me, this is one of the biggest proofs that we will not be here when war is declared on the earth. Again, could it be that we are snatched away at the middle of the 7 years? Yes, it's possible. I think it's at the beginning of the 7 year, before the 7 year starts, let's put it that way, at the eve of the dawn of the 7 years, the last seven of Daniel's prophecy beginning, which is rightfully called the tribulation, the day of indignation. Even though the worst of the indignation doesn't come until halfway, that's okay. It's still the time of indignation. We have no business being on this planet when God takes up again with Israel. And for that, I use Romans 11:25. Could it be that it's not until the middle? It could be. I just don't think it is. I've never told you for absolute sure that it is. I just know that that's the latest possible time. But everything I'm seeing, Romans 11:25, 2 Corinthians 5, the war technically begins at the beginning of the tribulation. God's taking up with Israel again at the beginning of the tribulation. So like Lot, who was evacuated from Sodom and Gomorrah before God wrecked those cities, thus we are evacuated from the earth before God wrecks the earth. This has nothing to do with you being worthy. It has to do with God being true.